Good morning. It is Monday, April 15th, 2024. Still Eastertide. So try to keep some of that Easter joy going. Unfortunately, I don't have happy news for you this morning. I rarely do, though. Today, we're going to talk about a story that broke in the secular media regarding Catholic things and then go a little deeper than what the secular media is reporting. In Buffalo, New York, one Bishop Fisher has really upset the laity in his diocese to the point where they're now writing to Francis asking for Francis to remove the bishop. That's probably not going to happen. In fact, I would be utterly shocked if that happened. And the reason I don't think that's going to happen is because Bishop Fisher is doing exactly what he has been asked to do, which is he's continuing the auto demolition of the Catholic Church. That's what he's doing. He is continuing in the work that the logical consequences of allowing James Martin types and Ted McCarrick types into the priesthood, what the consequences of that are. Most of us are living through that, depending on how bad things were in your particular diocese. But I have for you the initial report from the secular media. I have the letter they've written to the bishop or to Francis and some other reporting on this. And we're going to go over all of this here. Now, I do want to thank everybody who has given to our Give, Send, Go that was started by a viewer after seeing my news on Easter about my wife expecting our next child. Put a link in the live chat, and there will be one in the comments thereafter. If you would like to participate in that, it is greatly appreciated. Now, let's move on to first the secular story, which comes to us from WIVB4 News, which gives us this headline: Group of Buffalo Catholics ask Pope Francis to remove Bishop Michael Fisher. Now, you might think, you know, that might, that could happen, right? Well, maybe. You see, this is a fairly widespread problem in the church where you have dioceses. At the crux of this is the liquidation of church assets to pay for the evils done by priests with the full knowledge of their bishops. But this goes much further than this, because this article we'll go over the whole thing. It's not long. It doesn't give you anything about how this got so bad. Buffalo was one of the worst dioceses in the United States for the Ted McCarrick problem. To put it mildly, this is one of the very worst places in the country for this. And it was bishop after bishop after bishop. And it turned out that Buffalo is also one of the hotbeds of the James Martin type priests in the church. And those two things, men cut from the same cloth as James Martin and men cut from the same cloth as Ted McCarrick, the overlap, if you were to do a Venn diagram, the overlap between them would be enormous. It's not a coincidence that the more Martin type priests you have in a diocese, the more McCarrick kind of problems you have. They go hand in hand. So it's almost as if scripture is right, that the sin that James Martin advocates for is one that truly cries out to heaven for justice. Let's go to this article. A group of Buffalo faithful says Bishop Michael Fisher is failing his flock, and they're calling on the Pope to have him removed. In a letter penned to Pope Francis, they claim since Fisher's appointment, adverse long-term and irreparable harm has come to the local Catholic community. The letter is filled with various articles, stories, and comments by Catholics, all of whom voiced their disapproval and documentation of harm done by Bishop Fisher to the Catholic community. The letter serving as a request for a formal inquiry by the Vatican into his actions and decisions since his appointment. Bishop Fisher chooses to think he's running a business like this is an NGO or Apple. It's not. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. So run it like that, said parishioner and active missionary Michael Taheri, who signed the letter. The letter to Pope Francis comes on the heels of three local churches and the diocese's Main Street headquarters either closing or being up for sale. The diocese says those decisions were made because of financial hardships. Currently, the diocese in the midst of settling almost 900 McCarrick-type cases spanning decades. 900. $15 million that have been spent on the clergy problem, and frankly, no case has been settled when you spent those kinds of dollars. I think the question to Bishop Fisher is, have you been a good steward of the resources that the parishioners have given you to steward? I don't think so, Tahiri added. Tahiri said Catholics around the area feel that Bishop Fisher is only focused on financial leadership, not missions, programs, or spiritual guidance. When you have 900 cases like that in your diocese, you have to ask the question, what can the bishop do? What should his focus be? Part of it should probably be trying to repair the relationship with the local community. That's almost something you have to do. I know next to nothing about Bishop Fisher, whether he's a full-throated Bergoglian or something else, or if he's a just a sort of moderate, does his job kind of bishop. But it's a lot of the times those moderate bishops fall into this situation where they find that the diocese they've inherited is in a financial mess because of the McCarricks, because of the damage they've done and all the consequences from it, including laity leaving the church or no longer giving in the collection plates. Perhaps, you know, some lay people no longer go to the diocesan masses. They start going to mass of the SSPX or somebody else whose money then only goes to the SSPX. It doesn't go to the Vatican and it doesn't go to the archdiocese, creating financial problems on a massive scale for the diocese. On top of all the stuff where they have to then pay for the things that those evil priests did in worse times. Now, let's go to this letter from Francis, or to Francis himself. I have it here. They have it on the website for the news, that news article. We'll go over it as best we can, taking due care to follow the rules of our totally fair and totally free hosts. Dated the 8th of April, 1 week ago today. Dear Pope Francis, please consider this letter and the attached documents as our formal complaint against Bishop Michael Fisher of the Diocese of Buffalo, New York. We are requesting a formal inquiry by the Vatican into his actions and decisions since his appointment, as they have resulted in adverse, long-term, and irreparable harm to the Catholic laity who reside in this community. In December of 2021, Bishop Fisher was appointed to the Diocese of Buffalo, New York, a Western New York community which includes approximately 600,000 Catholics. Upon his arrival, the entire Catholic community was very welcoming of Bishop Fisher, and we were excited to have him assume the role of bishop after the previous acting bishop placed our diocese into federal bankruptcy in February of 2020 as a result of over 900 Ted McCarrick-type cases. Since the bankruptcy was filed 4 years ago, the legal fees are close to $15 million, and not one claim by one of the people that had bad things done to them by a McCarrick-type has been settled. Pause here. Not one of them, 900 cases, not one has actually been resolved yet. Instead, this secular proceeding, along with his other business decisions, have become the misplaced centerpiece of Bishop Fisher's work. There's virtually no spiritual nourishment for this flock coming from Bishop Fisher or the Chancery. Now, in addition to the bankruptcy, Bishop Fisher has turned his eyes to closing Catholic churches and schools. In many cases, these beautiful institutions have operated over 50 years in our community. When a closing is announced, he lacks the courage to go see these Catholic organizations himself and instead delegates this tragic news to a B team of clergy lackeys. He intimidates, nice turn of phrase there. He intimidates churches and parish communities with these heavy-handed money changers who deliver the bad news to the parishes or the schools about their closing. The central thrust of all his decisions is money and not ministry. He has no direct presence in the Catholic community to support parishioners faced with the closure of Catholic institutions they have supported their entire lives. It's a horrible time to be a Catholic in this diocese. Perhaps the greatest harm thus far is the reduction of the number of masses both on Sunday and during the week. Bishop Fisher's efforts to restructure the parishes in the diocese has virtually strangled parish life and brought total chaos to all of the faith communities in our diocese. During this most recent Easter season, under Bishop Fisher's, quote, leadership, our community has had fewer masses offered during Holy Week and the Triduum. Easter Sunday was horrible, as many of the traditional masses were eliminated, and those held were greatly reduced in numbers, adversely impacting the faith community. Bishop Fisher's tinkering with, slash destroying, slash altering the source and summit of Catholic life, the Mass, is misguided, outrageous, and disrespectful to this community. Let's pause here. They're invoking the lack of traditional masses. Francis isn't going to be sympathetic. That might actually be points in Bishop Fisher's favor here in the eyes of dear leader here. We'll continue. We have attached various newspaper articles, stories, and letters by Catholics to news outlets, voicing their disapproval and documenting the harm done by Bishop Fisher to the Catholic community since his arrival. These stories are from faithful Catholics who want to help the church in its growth and ministries. Since the arrival of Bishop Fisher, our diocese is struggling due to the absence of any spiritual leadership. We have no mission in this diocese except the financial mission being directed by Bishop Fisher. Our community has a long, deep, rich history of practicing both the corporal and spiritual acts of mercy. The corpus for the works has been gutted by Bishop Fisher's singular focus on the economics of this diocese. Without a doubt, we are a weaker, smaller, and more disenfranchised flock than ever before in our 150-year history. Under Bishop Fisher, there is virtually no ministry or outreach to the poor. All of Bishop Fisher's work is focused on money, money, and money. His letters or videos to the Catholic community are constantly about the need for money and settling the bankruptcy case. Although there is a time and place for that type of financial stewardship, it dominates all of his decisions. This is not how we are called to imitate Jesus. I'm going to pause here. I want to know why his focus is on money. Because for the longest time, it's been an open secret, especially in the episcopate, that many bishops were of the James Martin type, and that many, if many of them are, then a lot of priests are. And this has been allowed to happen. And the consequences of that has been that you now have 900 cases in that diocese that are waiting to be settled of a Ted McCarrick kind of problem. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that's going to be easily over $1 billion once it's done. Billion with a B. And this is what happens when the church says one thing about morality and then does another. And we'll talk about it also a little bit about how this was done on purpose, not by the Vatican initially, but because this is the consequence of the work of Bella Dodd and the infiltration thesis. This is how you bring the church down if you have a purely materialistic viewpoint, is you destroy its credibility and then you bankrupt it. That's how you do it. We'll continue with this letter though. Without a doubt, we are a weaker, smaller, and more disenfranchised flock than ever before in our 150-year history. Under Bishop Fisher, there is virtually no ministry or outreach to the poor. All of Bishop Fisher's work is focused on money, money, money. His letters or videos to the Catholic community are constantly about the need for money, money, and settling the bankruptcy case. Although there is a time and place for this type of financial stewardship, it dominates all of his decisions. This is not how we are called to imitate Jesus. At a mass during Lent, a priest shared that out of the approximately 150 churches in Buffalo, 112 had not a single candidate for the rite of Christian initiation of adults programs. It means there's not a single RCIA candidate in three quarters of their RCIA programs in the diocese. That is a disgraceful statistic and falls on the shoulders of Bishop Fisher, sort of. The priests are also victims of his poor decision. Yes, it falls on Bishop Fisher, but it also falls on the laity because you and I are called to go out and bring the good news to people as well. Bishop Fisher also has not initiated any programs to support the needs of new arrivals, the poor, or those on the margins. You have preached and talked about the need for the church to be a field hospital for the poor. Bishop Fisher has no vision for that type of church in our diocese. He is all about money. The money raised from parishioners in this diocese goes to feed the appetite of the hungry lawyers, not the poor and the hungry. We're not saying Bishop Fisher does not have good qualities or accounting skills, but we feel the Diocese of Buffalo is not the best location for the use of his talents. Instead, we would propose that Bishop Fisher be removed and sent to a position where his talents, skills, and concerns about finances can be put to better use. Our diocese needs a bishop who is merciful and walks with his flock in good times and bad. Instead, our present bishop remains glued to the inside of the chancery. He has no presence in this community and has a misguided focus. We trust in God and that you will take our submission seriously and authorize an official inquiry into Bishop Fisher and the harm he has caused the Diocese of Buffalo. We believe removal is appropriate given the harm he has caused to the laity. We pray that such an inquiry will move forward under your watchful supervision. We look forward to your thoughtful response and hope to be of assistance to you and our Catholic Church as we move forward. Please know you are remembered in our daily intentions. Signed, the main people here, including Mike Taheri, who was cited in there. And they actually CC'd him, the bishop, on this, because that's obviously the right thing you to do in a case like this. Now, Bishop Accountability sent a letter to their email to their staff saying Bishop Fisher is not going to be removed. I'll leave the name of the person who sent this email out off to not get anyone in trouble here. They make a good point about all this because you really he's nothing is going to happen to this bishop. I would be utterly surprised, because partially because after 50 years at least of these kind of priests, bishops sweeping away this kind of problem in that diocese, what do you think was going to happen? Absolutely nothing, because this has been a systemic problem in the church for, well, there's evidence that this was going on before Vatican II, because again, the changes in the church that happened after the council didn't just come out of the blue. Okay. The men who implemented those changes were there before the council. So here we are. This is an email that I was sent, that I was forwarded by somebody who thought that people should see this. I'm not going to say who within Bishop's Accountability, which is the people who run Complicit Clergy, I had to say about this, but here's where you're going to find. Here's this email. Catholics in numerous dioceses throughout the United States, Buffalo, Cleveland, Nashville, Birmingham, Baltimore, Richmond, have written to the Vatican, or in some cases demonstrated before the Apostolic Nunciature in Washington, D.C. That's the Vatican's ambassador's office. That's where the ambassador from the Vatican to the United States is, requesting that their ordinary be removed from office. This happened recently in Buffalo Diocese, as reported by several media outlets. As a advocate for those who McCarrick did evil things to, a priest who was ordained 50 years ago, so the person who wrote this is a priest, who was made a prelate of honor to honor Monsignor by Pope John Paul II, and who worked in a parish with a priest who was sent away for 5 years and in a really bad place whose name you cannot say on this platform. It is my opinion that appealing these cases to Pope Francis or to Vatican officials like Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez is like asking that guy or his henchmen for help after his servants had taken your family off to the really bad places you can't talk about on this platform. In order to understand why I believe this to be the case, I invite you to read Why Bishop Fisher Will Likely Not Be Sacked, which we will go over here in a second. Readers are invited to click on the hyperlinks in the article. We won't be doing that. If they have any doubts whatever about what I have written, please do not email me if you have not read or viewed all these links. And again, this was shared with me because this is something people need to see. You're not going to see what's going to happen. You're not going to see anything happen to this bishop, because this problem is built into the post-conciliar order. So from Complicit Clergy, this is the article that he wanted people to read. Why Bishop Fisher Will Likely Not Be Sacked. We're diving now deep into the 2003 problem, what I usually call the Ted McCarrick problem, because as it turned out, men like him were so well known in Rome for their problems and were still allowed to persist under every pope, including the ones you probably like in the aftermath of Vatican II, that there has been demonstrated unwillingness to do anything about this. And as a video I have in the works for you for later in the week shows you, this is actually built into canon law. Okay. A canon law actually treats men of a McCarrick sort of nature better than a bishop like Strickland, who said mean things about the sitting pontiff. Notice how quickly they got rid of Strickland, who did, in my mind, nothing wrong. Mind of many of you watching this did nothing wrong. Some of your more moderate types, or people who don't like this, who don't like the work that we do here, will probably disagree with me. But note that they took care of him really quickly as we go over this. From the article, quote, it was reported recently that concerned Catholics of the Buffalo Diocese have written to the Vatican requesting that Bishop Michael Fisher be removed. Some people familiar with Fisher's background in the Washington Archdiocese are not surprised at this development. Just as Cardinal Wilton Gregory was appointed to sweep away things done by disgraced Cardinal Donald Worrell, who was himself sent to sweep away things for ex-Cardinal Ted McCarrick, so too was Bishop Fisher sent to Buffalo to sweep away things for disgraced Bishop Richard Malone. Both Fisher and Richard Bishop Barry Nestout worked together in the Washington Archdiocese and Chancery before being made bishops. Some saw their promotions as a reward for sweeping away things. Their complicit cardinals and evil members of the clergy, who are often allowed to remain in ministry despite having engaged in evil deeds of the flesh and James Martin-type conduct. Just as Fisher never restored Father Rizard Biernay to ministry after he was unjustly suspended by Bishop Malone for reporting his sweeping away of evil deeds by priests to the media, so too did Nestout remove Father Mark White in Richmond for publishing a blog critical of the Ted McCarrick problem and the sweeping away therein by church leaders. Bishop Cardinal Wilton Gregory, who was in office when Fisher was appointed to Buffalo, is currently seeking to dismiss Ted McCarrick, someone who exposed Ted McCarrick problems, Father Michael Breese, just like Malone got rid of Biernay and Nestout suspended White. As an advocate for those who had evil things done to them, who was ordained 50 years ago, and who works with others like them from dioceses throughout the United States, I am not surprised that more than 800 such suits have been filed against the Buffalo Diocese. According to local news reports, quote, more than 250 priests and nuns have these things laid against them. Stop there. Buffalo's been like this since the 60s. It didn't come out of nowhere. On the one hand, I understand why the bishop there is focused almost entirely on finances, because he has 900 of these cases, not one of which has been solved yet, already in the whole $15 million. And each one of those cases is going to cost him at least $1 million, probably more. On average, that's what they're going to cost them. You're looking at a $1 billion payout. That doesn't make it right, what he's doing, but at least I understand how this has happened. Now, the article continues telling us that the local authorities even deferred to the diocese, again, secular authorities, when these cases were brought to them, which seems outrageous to us now. But remember something. Once upon a time, the Catholic Church had moral authority in the eyes of at least the secular authorities. It used to have that authority. That was destroyed by the work of Bella Dodd and people like her. They put men morally unfit to be priests into seminaries. She explicitly said they were men of a James Martin persuasion, and then later admitted that many of these men became bishops later on, and even cardinals. Cardinals, okay? Not just Bella Dodd either, since she was absolutely not operating alone. There were others, and this was the result of it. Either you had men like McCarrick and James Martin helped into the priesthood, or you had true believers in the hammer and sickle ideology of Karl Marx who were put into the seminaries. Those are the two kinds of men they put there. This on top of the already existing problems with groups like the Jesuits and a few others that were already well documented in the late 19th century. There were hotbeds of modernism at the time they were putting these men in there. Do you see how this is a witch's brew of absolute catastrophe for the church? Modernism was already a problem in the church. Again, we're talking here at the time that I have been covering every other weekend on average small digestible portions of Pope St. Pius X's landmark encyclical Pascendi Dominici Gregis, explaining the errors of the modernists. Because when a typical person goes over the whole thing in one sitting, it just becomes like nearly impossible to go through, but small portions are much easier to go over. And that was in 1907 when that was published. And the problem you run into with that is he wrote that in response to a problem that was being documented 70 years earlier by Pope Gregory the 16th, I believe, who began to write about a problem that they at the time were calling ecclesiastical liberalism. And then Pope Leo the 13th was writing about in the 1880s, and Pope Pius the 9th was writing about before him, and on and on and on. The term modernism was coined after a while because it wasn't just the influence of like the ideology of John Locke, Thomas Paine, and Thomas Jefferson in the church. It was something much more complex than that. But that problem had been there for at least 70 years by the time that Pascendi was written. Fast forward after that, another 60 years. And in the intervening time, you have Bella Dodd and other people like her doing the work that they were doing, placing men in the priesthood who should never have been in the priesthood. And now we're reaping the whirlwind for this. This on top of the modernism problem in the church. The church, because of modernism, first wave of modernism was a fertile ground for the infiltration and subversion of the church by the enemies of our Lord. We know that, for instance, people like Bella Dodd were working in Central and South America to put in the sort of early stages of liberation theology down there as well. This is all very, very well documented stuff. You can read Bella Dodd's book, School of Darkness, or a book like it, AA 1025, Memoirs of an Anti-Apostle. These are sort of confessional tell-alls of books by people who were doing this work. highly recommend you read them to really get an understanding of why we are where we are. But then the article then, to get back to it, you get some other details. Buffalo is known as a hotbed of James Martin activity in the church and has been for a very long time. Good priests who were in that diocese have been canceled for going to the media, trying to explain to the faithful what had happened long before the news broke in 2003. Another priest passed away under, we'll call them, odd circumstances. The authorities officially said that he removed himself from the mortal coil, but later law enforcement types who looked back onto the case after it was closed said it was much more likely that he had been a problem that was removed by someone involuntarily, if you catch my meaning. Again, we have to be careful how we talk about such things here. Long story short, the Diocese of Buffalo is Exhibit A for those of us who argue that the church has been infiltrated by the forces of Satan, and that the problem isn't Francis. He's just a logical step, next step in the program to bring the church down. That Buffalo is Exhibit A, if you want to see things. And it's good that the laity are writing to Francis demanding the bishops be removed and doing so in a public way. These letters being made public, the secular media reporting on them. That is all unequivocally a good thing, because maybe something will be done here. Because Francis himself, rightfully, has said that priests and bishops should not be so focused on materialism and on money, and he's absolutely right about that. Whether or not it's just a sentiment he's expressing while contradicting it with his own actions, I'll leave you to decide for yourself. But he has gone on the record to say that priests and bishops should not be so focused on this, and that that's actually sort of an aspect of clericalism in his mind. Letters like this should have happened decades ago. Letters should have been sent to Paul VI in the 1960s. Maybe they were. We'll never know. But now it's almost too late anyway. Francis, I guarantee you, will do absolutely nothing about what's going on in Buffalo except either ignore it or maybe, just maybe, promote the bishop to the position of archbishop of a nicer diocese, or maybe give him a post in Rome and then replace him with somebody just like him. Because at the end of the day, his hands are tied anyway. You might get a bishop who will be very hyper-focused on money, but will give enough attention to the Eucharistic revival or some other stuff going on to appease people a little bit. But 900 of these cases have not been resolved. And when they are resolved, it's going to cost at least $1 billion to do. It's just how things work now. That's the story you're seeing in the secular media. I'll have links to all this stuff, except that email that I read to you in my show notes at returntotradition.org here a few minutes after this live stream is over. Format asks, is this why Archbishop Fulton Sheen is not a saint? Sheen was not canonized because his canonization was blocked by Supich and a few others, including maybe Bishop Barron, although I don't know for sure if it was Bishop Barron. That's some of the whisperings, that high-profile cardinals and bishops in the United States blocked it, citing him allegedly sweeping things away himself in the some of these things. I don't know how true that is. Some people who don't like Sheen would say that was the Holy Spirit intervening. But again, we don't know. But that is, I believe, Buffalo. No, he was in Rochester, which is upstate New York also. But his was blocked by Supich, essentially. Roseanne had with a positive thought saying, he says, Anthony, your children as well as my grandchildren and all true Catholics will raise up good holy Catholics. And when the old creepy bishops go away, there will be holy bishops to bring Christendom. Yes, and I believe it'll happen after the material chastisement portion is warned about in the Fatima message, which we appear to be hurtling towards. But yes, Maria says, I'm sure letters of complaint about Francis get shredded. They're they won't take those seriously. But can we write the cardinals to replace this pope? Well, I brought to you something yesterday, Matthew, if you didn't catch it. My live stream yesterday was a priest writing a letter to bishops, just doing that. He wrote a letter to that. So go check yesterday's live stream out if you have not. Philip reminds everybody to hit the like button. That would be a good thing to do, please. It does help out greatly. So if there's any final thoughts on this subject, please bring them to my attention now. Otherwise, we will wrap this up. Again, you'll find all the links for everything that I've talked about today in my show notes at returntotradition.org hereafter. If you want to read, the news article or the stuff from the clergy organization, you can do this. You can do so. Rosanna reminds everybody to do the first Saturdays. Yes, the five first Saturdays devotion. I like to bring this up in the middle of the month, usually, to give people a little bit of time to prepare for it. But Sister Lucia reminds us that heaven demanded from the laity, not just the consecration of a certain country done by the Pope in the release of the third secret of Fatima, but the laity are to keep the five first Saturdays devotion, which involves going to confession and receiving the Eucharist within 8 days of going to Mass on the first Saturday. And again, I recommend not going to just a vigil Mass, but actually finding a Mass dedicated to the five first Saturdays devotion, which there are out there. Your best bet to find them is a traditional parish, because they're usually the ones who do this, but there are some Novus Ordo parishes that do it too. They'll be earlier in the day. And you then spend time meditating on the mysteries, one of the mysteries of the Rosary, for 15 minutes afterwards. And you do it all with the intention of making reparation for the sins, for these explicit sins associated with five First Saturdays devotion, which have to do with Our Lady. Everybody needs to do it five consecutive First Saturdays. Do it at least once, meaning you complete it once. Miriam is asking for prayers. I need them, so thank you. We will do so, Miriam. Joe Trander says, I thought it was bad when Portland had to settle for $75 million. Portland was another place that was really bad, and they got a good bishop out of it. I mean, Archbishop Sample, no, but I never hear anybody complain about, really, anybody in our sphere of things. He tends to quietly do his job while still trying to clean up the mess there. But I'm from Portland. I have nothing negative to say about Archbishop Sample. Roseanne says, I was told that I'm in schism for going to the SSPX, but they promote Fatima. Anybody who tells you that doesn't know what they're talking about. The SSPX are, there's no such thing as partial communion with Rome. They exist in a canonical state of limbo. That's what they are. Bishop Schneider investigated the SSPX on behalf of the Vatican, came back saying they're fully Catholic, they're not working against the church, they just have their canonical status is essentially in limbo. And that is something for the hierarchy of the church and the bishops of the SSPX to work out amongst themselves. All right. Thanks again, folks, for tuning in. And again, check out that Give, Send, Go campaign that was started by a viewer right after my East personal news on Easter. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.